Everybody, you're listening to the Hour of the Time, and I'm William Cooper. Don't file, don't pay. Ever. Ever. And you know what? The time he said it, I wasn't quite sure. But now I know he's absolutely right. G. Gordon Liddy was correct. When the Nazi jackbooted thugs break down your door in the middle of the night, shoot them in the head. Shoot them in the head. Don't file. Don't pay. There is no law that requires you to file or pay. And if you file and pay, you are a dirty dog. You are shaming all those good men and women who have died for freedom, who died to protect and defend the Constitution for the United States of America and all of the history of this country. Do you think that they would file and pay if they couldn't find a law that required them to file and pay that was passed by the Congress of the United States of America? No, they wouldn't. Guaranteed. Don't file, don't pay. It's a tribute. It's a tribute to the slave masters who have taken over this country slowly but surely, and they're in charge. And the proof that they're in charge is your cowardice. You can't find any reason in the law for you to be doing what you're doing, turning over one-third of everything that you earn by the sweat of your brow to the Nazi, jackbooted, communist, Marxist, communist manifesto, destroy the middle class income tax. Don't file, don't pay. Unless you can prove to somebody that you're actually required to do that. If you can't do it and you're still filing and paying, then you're a coward. You're just a mealy-mouthed, rotten little coward. I'm never going to let you forget it ever again. You're going to hear it every night that you listen to this broadcast until you either wake up, grow up, become a brave American fighting the battle for liberty and freedom to restore constitutional Republican government in this country. You keep waiting for some political candidate to come along and save you. It's not going to happen. We have to do it. And the only way that it can be done is if we have the guts to stand up and say, no, never again, screw you. And if you break down my door in the middle of the night unlawfully with your color of law bullshit, I'm going to shoot you in the head, just like G. Gordon Liddy told me to, and just like William Cooper told me to on the Hour of the Time. If you don't like it, report me to Bill Clinton. He already knows me. Back in 1995, he called me the most dangerous radio host in America. Gee, I wonder why. I'll tell you why. I'm the only one with the balls to stand up and tell the truth on the radio. Nobody else has the guts to do it. You don't hear it from anybody else anywhere. I don't care what they pretend to be. You don't hear it. You will always hear it from me, folks. You'll hear it till the day I'm dead and buried, cold in the ground. You will hear it. I will never quit. And the more they hurt me, and the more they come after me, and the more they try and force me into some kind of a corner, the tougher I get. the harder I fight. And I hurt them. You have to understand something, folks. For the President of the United States to acknowledge that I even live, much less publish in a White House memo that was read on the air by Rush Fat Boy Limbaugh, that I am the most dangerous radio host in America, means that that's no fooling. I really am the most dangerous radio host in America because I tell the truth. I tell it like it is. I pin it to William Clinton's forehead and Janet Reno's forehead. I call them what they are: traitors, butchers, scum-sucking, puke-faced, lying Nazi, jackbooted thugs is what they are. They've been on destroying this country. They've been on murder. And that's what they've been doing for a long, long time. Stick around. I got some questions to ask you guys tonight. No, and it's not what you think it might be at all.
We're here for you. I'm here too.
Ah, you bet your life. By golly. You know, I really have this vision in my head that every time I play one of these jingles, Alan Weiner goes into his rock and roll mode and is dancing on the table at WBCQ. That's what I can see in my head, in my mind's eye. That's what I visualize whenever I do something like, you know,
this. WBCQ, we are the planet. We're the people. Speak for themselves. Hello there.
Where do you get these things, Alan? They're precious. Beyond belief. I can't get over it. I just love these jingles. Now, folks, I got a question to ask you, and I need an answer because we're up against the wall here. If you ever want to see another tape list, somebody better have the answer. If you want us to continue to rebuild the website, somebody better have the answer. If you want us to not lose tons, and I mean tons, of stuff that just could not possibly ever be duplicated, that's on the verge of being lost right this moment, we need an answer. And Pauline's in the studio with me here. She's going to tell you what the problem is.
I don't know what the problem is. Don't do this to me.
Well, talking there.
Well, I don't know what the problem is. Well, I just know your computer's not working.
Oh, well, that's the problem.
Well, then that's it. The problem is the computer's not working.
The problem is the computer is not working. NT took a dump. The main computer that we've been using, that's everything is on it. And I mean everything, right, Pauline?
Yes, even my tape list for 99.
And she's very upset about that. NT dumped. It won't restart. When I try to repair it with the original disk and all that kind of stuff, like it's supposed to be able to do, what happens, Pauline?
It just comes up a bunch of little numbers and I don't know what. Letters. Letters and numbers and keeps telling them that.
It dumps. It's telling us it's not going to work. And we've tried everything. I've tried everything that I know how to do using the emergency disk, using the original setup disk, everything. NT has dumped. I don't know if it's a virus. I don't know what it is, but it won't start. So at this point, if somebody doesn't come up with an answer for us, I hope there's some computer experts out there who know something about NT. If somebody can't come up with an answer for us, we're going to lose some precious, irreplaceable information and files and research work and stuff that none of you have ever seen yet because it wasn't ready to be published. We're going to lose the tape lists and all, everything. We're going to lose it all. And so Pauline's worried. She doesn't want to go through all those boxes of tapes and have to retype all the tape lists again forever. And I don't blame her. And I don't want to have to redo all the research that we did that was in that computer that's now inaccessible. And all the, that's not even to mention all the passwords and PGP public keys and private keys and all that kind of stuff that are on there also that we absolutely must have. So needless to say, we have not been having a good time with computers lately. Good evening, you're on the air.
Bill, this is Mike in Mesa. Actually, believe it or not, I fixed a problem like similar to this just today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually, I do this for a living, so...
Well, fantastic.
Wait a minute.
Put your cheek up next to your radio.
How's that?
Have you got your cheek next to your radio?
Cheek next to my radio?
Yeah. Put your cheek right next to the speaker.
Okay.
There's a big kiss from all of us. If you can solve this problem, you get another one.
Well, my first question would be, did you format it to NTFS or FAT partition?
NTFS, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
I'll never do that again.
Yeah. Well, it's good because it's better for security.
Well, it's better for security, but when you have problems, you can't use another computer or get in any way in the world to fix the darn thing.
That is true. I don't suppose you have a full backup of your hard drive.
No.
Okay.
You see, we operate on shoestrings around here.
Right.
And where the money goes is into doing things for the public.
Well, okay. The only other thing I can think of is setting up...
Or if it's the end of the month, paying the bills that absolutely have to be paid or we lose something.
I can't imagine what your financial budget is like.
It's nightmare. Try nightmare.
Yeah, just, you know, trading one thing for another, the other one bill for another. The only other thing I can think of is to buy another hard drive and set up NT on it and have both of the hard drives in the same system. And
well, we have a whole bunch of hard drives in this system, but they're all formatted NTFS. Is there a way? For instance, we have a couple of blank hard drives in this same computer. Is there a way to reformat them without messing with the original system C drive in order to be able to, I don't know, reinstall NT and then get to the C drive and correct whatever the problem is there? Is there a way we could do that?
Well, actually, my suggestion would be to take a hard drive that you could wipe out, doesn't have to be in that system, and install NT Fresh on that with the NTFS partition on that new drive, and have that be your primary drive, and then have the whatever three other drives that you have in your system. And with that new drive in there, you should be able to access your other three drives that are formatted in NTFS.
And get to the files that we need to save and save them.
Exactly. There's
how do we go about doing that without, because we don't have another computer with NT on it. We have several other computers, but they all have Windows 98 or 95 on them.
Well, what you need is another disk that you can format. You don't need another... computer, you just need another
hard
drive to slap in there.
Well, we already have several hard drives in there.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is what I'm trying to tell you. We have some empty hard drives in this computer.
Oh, okay. Well, you can use...
But they're formatted NTFS, and they're not the C drive. And I can't get anything to recognize them.
Oh, well, okay. That's okay. What you need to do is take one of those drives that you know you can't erase that is in there, and you have to plug that in to your the primary port on your motherboard. Did you put the computer together yourself?
No.
Okay.
Well, I added a lot of other hard drives myself. See, the primary drive is really a SCSI drive.
Right.
And the rest of the drives are all IDE.
Okay.
That are real fast drives because the original intent was to use this for video production.
Right.
And so...
And the SCSI drive is the one that crashed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the drive didn't crash. NT crashed.
NT crashed, so the data's still there.
Yeah.
That makes it more interesting because SCSI always wants to be first in the list, even when there's IDE drives.
I know.
But they're... It kind of depends on your BIOS also, because sometimes you can override that and have your IDE drive be first. But it depends on your BIOS. And a lot of the times, I've been doing this for like 4 years, and a lot of the times it's just looking at it and, seeing what you can do and kind of tweaking the BIOS.
So if I went into the BIOS setup, I might be able to make it recognize another drive besides the SCSI and then format that drive?
Right, exactly. It's kind of hard to say that they're all so different, but there might be a selection in the BIOS to have it boot to one of the IDE drives first, primarily, and then take one of that drive and format it as NTFS and install NT again and then have access to all the other hard drives.
Well, let's get Pauline's opinion. What do you think about this, Pauline?
Well, I hope it works. Sounds good. Sounds like he knows what he's talking about. So
there is actually one more thing that might work. There's just so many things, but I've come across so many different things the last 4 years that I've been doing this, is using Partition Magic. And with that, essentially you should be able to...
Yeah, but doesn't it have to boot first? It won't even boot.
You can boot from a... The nice thing about this Partition Magic is it does work with NTFS partitions. And what it does is it can resize them. So if you have enough free space on that first drive...
But what I'm trying to ask you is how can it resize them when the computer won't boot up to a drive?
Oh, you boot from a floppy disk.
Well, I can boot from a floppy disk and get to drive A... but it won't be an NTFS.
Right. Well, that's the nice thing about this program is it will access the NTFS partitions unlike any other boot disk that even an NT boot disk. And so what it does is it accesses that NTFS drive and will resize it, and it will make a new C drive.
You're cutting out. Are you on some kind of weird phone or something? Are you on a Roam phone or
no.
Cellular phone? Or?
No.
Okay.
No. And what it does is it can resize that partition, and so you can reinstall NT on that new first resized partition, and then you can, you know.
I haven't got the slightest idea what you're talking about.
That's what I say. It's, you know, sometimes it's you have to, you know, be there and work on it and look at it to figure out what to do. Like, I can tell you over the phone and spend 8 hours, talking you through it or look at it and do it in about an hour and a half. So
we'd have to get Partition Magic?
Yeah.
And then what would we do?
You would want to resize that first...
No. How do we get the thing up to resize it? Will Partition Magic boot the computer?
Yeah, it should come with a boot disk. So you boot from the floppy drive, and it has a little application that will access the NTFS partitions.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, now that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's a really nice program.
Okay. And well, I guess tomorrow I'm going to get on the telephone and order Partition Magic to be shipped. Well, tomorrow's Friday, isn't it? So
yeah.
The earliest we could get it would be Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe this.
I've seen that a couple times, actually, and, the NTFS partitions are really tough. but...
I'm never doing it again. Never doing it again.
Well, it's good for security, you know...
Well, that's why we originally did it, because we needed the security.
Yeah.
And I read the manual and all that kind of stuff, and it assured me that NT, unlike 95 and all the rest of the programs, wouldn't crash.
any program can crash.
Microsoft lies. I've learned that over the years. They lie a lot.
Yes, they have very nice feature-rich programs, but even 98, the newest second edition, crashes too. I mean, no matter, you know.
Well, the first one does. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, the first one, sometimes you can't even shut it off.
Oh, yeah. That's a common problem too. Yeah, sometimes you have to just keep hitting enter, and sometimes you just have to turn it off.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. I quit messing and I just turn it off.
Yeah.
Sometimes it goes off by itself, and sometimes I have to turn it off. And sometimes it shuts off when it's not supposed to shut off.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And freezes up when you are working on a 30-page document that you haven't saved.
Yep, absolutely. Right on the money. Freezes solid. Won't, nothing works. The mouse won't move, nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, gee, oh boy, I am just absolutely, Pauline.
Are you in a hurry to go do it now?
I'm in a hurry to go, I can't think over
now. Yeah, we have a real big...
Pauline is now in charge.
Thank you.
The only thing I can think of I can do for you is send you a hard drive with NT on it, and I don't think I have a SCSI drive, but I could find a SCSI drive and with NT on it, and you could plug it in into your SCSI line and access the rest of your drives that way. That's the nice thing about SCSIs. You can hook 8 SCSI drives to that one chain.
Yeah. Well, you know, if Partition Magic does what you think what you think it will do,
yeah,
or what you say it will do, then I think I'd rather go that route if I can make it work. And if I can make it work, then that will be great.
Yeah.
You can make it work, because I need that list.
Oh, man. You're just not having a good month, are you?
No, we're not having a good month. In fact, we're having an absolutely...
rainy month.
I can't say that word. Rainy month, yes. Yeah. Rainy month. How about that?
Yeah, we're getting rain down here, too.
Well, okay, then I guess tomorrow morning I will get in my computer catalogs and order Partition Magic, and should be here Monday if I order it overnight.
Yeah.
How about overnight? It'll get here Monday.
Yeah.
If I order it 2 days, it won't get here until Tuesday.
Yeah, you'd have to pay for a Saturday delivery.
Yeah, well, they don't deliver Saturday here on this mountain.
Yeah.
Nobody does. Not Federal Express, not UPS, not the post office, not anybody.
Uh-huh. Despite their commercials.
Despite their commercials, that's absolutely correct. They're a pack of liars like, you know, everybody else. They promise you the world and deliver you nothing.
That's right. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I'll try to give you a call tomorrow and maybe even Saturday and see how you're going there. See if I...
Well, I already gave up. I mean, I spent...
Well, I know, almost an hour since I've been here.
Well, that's just since you've been here.
Yeah, since I've been here.
I was working on it for 2 hours before you got here, and then I've run out of options, so I'm not going to be doing anything unless during the night I wake up sitting straight up in bed with some kind of a brainstorm, which is not likely to occur, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Unless that happens, I'm just going to have to wait until we get Partition Magic and then try that, because that sounds like the easiest thing, and I've really wanted to get that program for a long time anyway.
Yeah, it's a very good program.
And I think we're going to need it in our video production editing type stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's good that you have the SCSI drive. That's a good way to start.
Well, I guess that's... Do you have anything else to offer?
Well, that's about all I can think of right now. I'll try giving you a call tomorrow or maybe over the weekend and see how you're doing. If I come up with any ideas, I'll let you know.
Okay. And if this partition magic suggestion works, then next Tuesday night you'll be listening. Put your cheek up to the radio, and Pauline will give you a kiss.
All right.
Big smackaroo.
Big smackaroo, she says.
I won't wash my face for a week.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Oh, she's blushing now. She's turned every shade of red.
Oh, I wish this was on TV.
Oh, well.
That's coming soon.
You know, we're not going to tell you all the details, but you will be able to watch the broadcast on TV coming soon. And I'm not going to tell you how, but you will be able to do it, especially if you have a computer. Live. So don't ask me any questions about that, because I can't tell you. It's a big secret. And I've been sworn to secrecy. And, well, it's all through our alliance with XL Studios Corporation. They're doing big things. New technology, folks, that nobody's ever seen before. Let me give you a clue. Matt Drudge is history. And I'm not joking either. Okay, well, we're going to open the phones now, because we, all day long, have been fighting with computers. And so we're going to open the phones, and Pauline's here if you'd like to talk to her about any of your orders, or just talk to her. I'm here, too. You didn't guess that, did you? 520-333-4578 is the number. That's 520-333-4578 is the number.
The station with the free speech difference. WBCQ, this is the planet from Monticello, Maine to you.
You're listening to The Hour of the Gun. I'm William Cooper, and this is
Polly Mole.
Wow, that's incredible. I was watching the VU meters on the mixer, and they were within normal limits. I looked up at the transmitter, and it was off the scale. So people in the Round Valley were just getting blasted, and I apologize for that. I have to watch all these VU meters. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. Well.
I know, considering everything.
Considering everything, yeah.
Just a quick thing to run by you. Do you think there's going to be a martial art declared with Y2K when it hits?
Depends upon how stupid the American people get. I mean, if they panic and they cause a run on the banks and they start selling all their stock, thinking that they're going to lose their money if they don't, yeah, it will absolutely happen. If everybody can remain cool and calm and don't run on the banks and don't sell their stock and all that kind of stuff, then nothing's going to happen.
Do you think a lot of people running for gun permits might cause a similar thing?
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I've never owned a gun, but I'm seriously considering it.
Well, I think you should have seriously considered it years ago. Why are you waiting until... that tells me there's a little bit of hypocrisy going on here.
Well, that's how it was brought up, so it took a long time to...
Long time to sink in, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I hope it sinks in. Good. Go out and buy the gun right now. Quit screwing around.
I got your book, and I just hope that, I don't know, if you know the Bible and stuff, so you know how it's all going to end. So, anyway, hang in there, and you're not alone, and hello to any people listening in Massachusetts, and wise up. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Massachusetts, the home of The home, oh, it's the home of socialists. What's his name? Kennedy? Ted? Is it Ted? Teddy Kennedy? Is that who it is? Yeah, I think it is. And all those other socialist, wacko, nutso, self-destructors is what they are. And they are self-destructors. You don't have to wait for me. If you see I forgot to push that button, and you push it, Pauline, now you can push that one. And then you can come over and say...
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, that's good.
I'm getting good at this.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Hi, Bill. Renee in Michigan. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, we got your CNN Atlanta tape.
All right.
Oh, it did good.
Did you like that?
Oh, yeah. We're real excited about it. I have a question for you about
sure.
the tape.
Mm-hmm.
At the last part of the interview, you said, I have some other comments I need to make, and they talked about, oh, we have 10 minutes of tape left.
Uh-huh.
What were those comments?
I don't remember.
At the last part of the interview, you said, I have some other comments I need to make, and they talked about, oh, we have 10 minutes of tape left.
Uh-huh.
What were those comments?
I don't remember. That was 1962, I believe. Wasn't it March? It was 92. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it was the March the 5th, 1992, if I remember correctly. And I don't remember what the last 10 minutes of comments might have been.
Well, everything you said was so profound. I was sitting there going, oh, good boy, he's really gonna end this, you know, with a real, you know, with some icing on the cake. And then the tape went dead.
Well, that's because I don't have that last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10, whatever it is. Anything that was beyond that, either I don't have it mm-hmm. or I haven't found it yet.
Now, did they only play a small portion of that on the air? Did it actually get on the air?
They played about 10 seconds of it.
Oh.
And they made it look like I was insulting the world because it was the part about a nation, a world of people who will not use their intelligence to know better than animals that don't have intelligence
right.
and thus are beasts of burden and steaks on the table by choice and consent. That's what they played on CNN.
Well, of course.
And so everybody said, well, who is this?
Well, my
jerk.
Well, yeah.
who thinks I'm so stupid?
Right.
But, you know, it was an accurate statement, but it was taken out of context so they didn't understand that there's a lot of stuff that they don't know.
Right.
That puts them in that category, and that's exactly the way the elite and the Illuminati look
right. well,
at the, people.
The thing is, too, you know, we've all been in that category. Just once in a while, like you said, you get hit with that 2x4.
I was in that category most of my life.
Yep.
I'm the first one to admit it. It took a lot of waking up for me and a lot of realization. And I went in the bathroom one day and I did what I advise you all to do. I closed the door. I looked in the mirror and I said, Bill, you've been stupid all your life. Stop it.
It's really embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
You know, to find out you've been duped for so long.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how could I have been so stupid? Well, my other question about the tape, and it may be a stupid question, why did they want to do this interview?
To get
know who you are.
To get a sound bite out of me
okay.
that they could use to make me look
like an idiot. Yeah.
That's the only reason they ever do an interview with anybody who's telling the truth or who is called a patriot or, mm-hmm. you know, any of these things.
Well, it's just like with this wonderful thing about Waco, we're finding out from friends of ours, we're not so crazy as they thought we were.
How about that?
Do you think
that Myrna Udall might someday arrive at the conclusion that I'm not a vagrant? It's actually too late for her to do this because we're forming the Vagrants Club.
Yeah.
In her honor.
Well, we just keep hoping and praying and doing what we can to hope we can turn this around. And the thing that I keep trying to keep in my mind is they want us to believe we're losing, and we're not.
No, we're not. We're winning. In fact, we've really got them scared to death. Why do you think it's been a year and 2 months since they've issued a warrant for my arrest, but they're scared to death to come in this valley and execute it?
Right. Yeah, I would be scared if I was them, too.
Well, they better be scared, because half this valley will come out with their deer rifles, and they'll have a war on their hands.
Yep.
It's not just me that they're going to be facing. But I'll tell you what, even if it was just me, they're not going to get me unless a lot of them die in the process, and they're a bunch of miserable, stinking cowards.
Yeah, we've got a lot of those here. They're so spoiled and dumbed down, and, well, I think it might have something to do with the give me my beer and my sports.
Oh, that's got a lot to do with it.
You know.
Well, Polly, come here, Polly. Polly's got something to say about that.
Well, that is dumb.
You know,
they can choke on their beer.
Yeah, we did. We actually took a day off one day and went with friends to a NASCAR race. And I thought to myself as I was sitting in the stands, damn, this is like watching the Gladiators.
That's exactly right.
You know, people were screaming and yelling and hurrahing when these guys were crashing.
It's exactly what it is. It's the Roman circus. That's why they have elevated simple games, simple sport games, to the level of super mania.
Mm-hmm.
And paying people millions of dollars. My God, I know men whose only claim to fame is they know everybody in the baseball leagues that play third base and second base and all the statistics and everything else. They go to work and they can't do their job worth a damn.
Right.
But they know all that stuff. And they think it's just the coolest thing in the world because they're sports experts.
Yep.
Well, what in the hell good does it do?
Not a whole lot. I have one more question for you, and then I'm going to let you go so other people can get in.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you get the Winston ticket that we sent you that showed that they wanted to digitize your driver's license?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Not only digitize your driver's license, but the photograph in particular.
Yeah.
They're interested particularly in the photograph.
Well,
in other words, if you didn't have a driver's license, but you had a photograph, they would have taken that.
Yeah, and that was at the races, and they were coming around for people that were smoking, and two of the people that I were with happened to have been smoking, and they filled these out, and I said, wait a minute, let me look at that, and they're of like mind, and I said, oh, you made a big boo-boo, you better read this. And they did, and I said, they want your driver's license, and they want to digitize it.
Yeah.
And it's for their own personal use.
Now,
well,
this is a cigarette corporation, a tobacco corporation,
yep,
that was giving away a free carton of cigarettes,
yes,
to anybody who wanted them, provided you would furnish a photograph of yourself,
right,
which they could digitize, and if you didn't have a photograph, they would gladly accept your driver's license and digitize that.
Sure, and it's like, well, what do you need this for?
Oh, this is scary stuff.
Yeah, who are you going to sell this to?
Well, why in the world would a cigarette company want your photograph to begin with, for any reason?
I'm sure they're working for somebody.
Well, I'm sure they are, too. Oh, by the way, folks, just in case you didn't know it, Pauline is wearing the Hour of the Time t-shirt. And, man, I got to tell you, this is one foxy chick standing here.
And she's blushing.
And she's blushing, but she's beautiful in this hot t-shirt. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic. It becomes her. Come and talk about the t-shirt, Pauline, and the hats.
Oh, wow. Well, I can't tell you. There's writing on the back, so I can't tell you what it says because I can't read the back. But the front has H-O-T-T, and it says Hour of the Time Radio with William Cooper. And then it says website, and I think we're going to have to change that.
Yeah, we're going to have to change that because it's the wrong website. But you can't see it anyway unless you're, you know.
Small lettering.
Very small lettering.
That's excellent, Bill. Super.
And the back has big letters. The back has big letters. It says, who is William Cooper? The John Galt of the 90s and beyond. Do you really value your freedom? Do you even know what freedom is? Maybe you should find out. Hot. H-O-T-T in big letters.
Well, one more comment, Bill. We were in our garden one day, and we had a couple guys stop by, and they looked like throwbacks from the 60s. And they were younger than Kyle and I, and they got to talking with Kyle, and they were talking about the world, and this kid started talking about the New World Order, and Kyle was kind of acting kind of dumb to see what he would say, and the kid said, "Hey, if you want to read a really good book, there's this book by William Cooper, Behold a Pale Horse," and Kyle about fell over. So your book has been cropping up in some interesting places.
Well, it is a bestseller. It's been a bestseller since the day it was printed, with no advertising, no recognition, no reviews, no nothing. In fact, people sell it on street corners in New York City. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
It's the truth.
Well, listen, Bill, I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
I wanted to call and let you know we got the tape. I'm glad you got the Winston thing, and if we come up with any other interesting information, we'll pass it on to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate
Bye-bye.
That. And thank you for calling. Yeah, folks, these T-shirts and hats are hot. Hot, H-O-T-T, the hour of the time. Hour of the time, H-O-T-T, hot. You know, somebody called in one night and said, what can we do to identify each other? Well, this is what you can do. Wear the hot T-shirt and hat. It's $35, you get both of them. And Pauline will handle your order personally. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
This is Kenny. I'm calling from Balboa, Republic of Panama.
Oh, fantastic.
I have a comment about the NASCAR races and the gladiators.
Uh-huh.
The automobile is the Trojan horse.
Really? Well, that's interesting.
Yes, sir.
Can you explain that?
Well, I came to that conclusion back in 1970 when I was 18 years old. And I came to that conclusion because I studied the society that I was growing up in.
It sure changed things. It changed things, didn't it?
Yes, it did change things. And after I came to that conclusion, I talked to my grandparents, my mother's father and mother, and my grandfather told me, he said, yes, when Mammy and I grew up before the automobile, and those were happier times.
Yeah. Well, they certainly were more community-oriented and family-oriented times. Now people get in their automobile and disappear. Alone.
Right.
By themselves.
And you're hooked to the gasoline supply. The old homesteader was basically a self-sufficient organization.
Yeah, that's true.
And when you're hooked on to the gasoline supply, you're no longer self-sufficient.
Well, you're not only no longer self-sufficient, but you're not a homesteader. Do you realize that today, I don't know how it is in Panama, but in the United States, it used to be that if you were born in a town, you tended to live there for the rest of your life. And even the ones who went away for maybe a while to go to college or something usually came back. And the ones that didn't went on to some place where they did live for the rest of their lives. Now people change their place of their home about every 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
It's a mobile society that, you know, I can tell you one thing. What good does it do to get to really know your neighbor when, you know, next year he's gone and you're never going to see him again?
That's to keep the people rootless.
Well, that's what they are. They are rootless. An awful lot of them. They are rootless. I know people who live in big cities who have never met any of their neighbors and never will meet any of their neighbors, and the only people that they really know and associate with are the people they know from work.
Well, I'm a retired taxpayer myself.
A retired taxpayer. I like that.
Yes, sir. Civil service.
Civil service, okay.
I'm 47 years old.
Uh-huh.
Normal civil service retirement, 55 years, but
you snuck it in there somehow.
Yeah, with the implementing legislation for the Panama Canal Treaties in 1977, I was able to retire with 23 years service.
Wow.
I had 26 years when I retired.
And so what are you going to do now?
Well, I plan on staying here, but I was going to ask you about that. What do you think is going to happen in this location with
what's going on
at the border 300 miles from here?
I think the Chinese are moving into the Panama Canal, and I think there's going to be some problems down there. I don't know exactly what they're going to be, but it's not going to be good. The United States is not going to take kindly to this.
Well, they're redoing the port of Balboa, the Hutchison Whampoa, which is a Hong Kong-based corporation. Hong Kong is no longer a British Crown colony.
Yeah, you also have to understand that the United States invasion of Panama with the pretended goal of going after Manuel Noriega wasn't about any of that.
Yeah, I think the special operation groups went and cleaned out a bunch of bank records that were paper trails, huh?
Well, I think they did that. They also murdered a lot of poor people that had nothing to do with anything. I mean, you're down there. You know about that, don't you?
I was here during Just Cause.
Yeah, how many people disappeared?
That's a curious subject. like there's a major cover up going on about what happened.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I've never seen that the Panama Deception tape. I heard it when you played it over the air.
Oh, you.
I subscribe to Veritas.
You need to get that video and watch it, especially if you live in Panama. You need to watch that video. In fact, if you could pirate a copy of that video and reproduce it and spread it around Panama, you might just become another hero. Panama needs to see that video, and I guarantee you, nobody in Panama has seen it yet.
I think there's been copies around, but I haven't seen it personally.
Yeah. I mean, there needs to be a lot of copies around, not just one or two floating, you know, between families or something. Everybody needs to see it. It should be in the movie theaters is where it should be.
All right. Well, good talking to you. I'll let someone else get on the air.
Okay. Thanks for calling. I really appreciate it.
Bye-bye,
Bill. Bye. Veritas subscriber, listener of the hour of the time, in Panama, Central America. So, for those of you who don't think that this broadcast gets out, it does, but most people who live in foreign countries can't afford to make the phone call. It's very expensive. You know, we can afford to do things that other people can't afford to do. You'd be amazed at how much it costs to call the United States from Panama. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper, this is Tony from New York. How are you?
Hi, Tony. Well, that's it. It's our second call from a foreign country.
Oh, yeah. What happened is that I've been listening to your program for some time in Trinidad, where I originate from.
Oh, great. You listen to us in Trinidad?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic.
I got your book, and I've been searching to find you. Then I missed you for a while, and I've got your webpage customized on my computer.
Well, that's wonderful.
And I've been there, but my internet service provider gives me a hard time. So my question for you tonight is, can you be heard over the net radio that normally, you know, you can get radio stations on the internet?
You can't get us live yet. You will be able to get us live not only on audio but video also. That's coming up. But right now you can go to our website, williamcooper.net, and click on the hour of the time. And it will take you to another page where there are several choices of places where you can listen to archived past broadcasts of the hour of the time.
Okay, great. All right. One quick thing is that what do you have to say about your recent killing in Texas? Another mind control?
Absolutely.
Okay. How can you establish this to a person who don't know? No, as you say, the sheeple. I like your webpage, incidentally. It's a sheeple little thing there.
Well, you can't with most people.
Yes,
because most people don't have the background of research or understanding to know what's been going on. So when you try to confront them with something like that, they automatically will deny it.
Yes, I understand that. But let's deal with the person who is willing to give you a hearing and you're making an introductory statement and you're getting a fair chance to establish your point. What are the marks of mind control in this particular scenario?
Well, in the first place, you wouldn't confront them with the marks of mind control of this particular scenario. What you would have to do is take them back to a beginning point like kindergarten, and start educating them into the mind control experiments by the United States government and the intelligence community that are documented and proven.
Which you have on Majestic 12.
Yes. Right. And then take them to the proof, if they don't believe that somebody can be remotely controlled through mind control devices, then take them to the link on our website that takes them to the United States Patent Office, which proves...
I saw that tonight.
Yeah, which proves that that's a reality.
Uh-huh.
And then take them through the history of these random, so-called, insane, lonesome, crazy people that just go out and kill. And you'll find a pattern there.
Right.
And the pattern... It has been established in these mind control experiments that, number one, they have a very unstable life.
Uh-huh.
They're usually under the treatment of some
psychiatrist
or psychologist.
Uh-huh.
They are always on some psychiatric drugs such as Prozac or some neuroleptic drug. And they usually are very lonely people. They demonstrate usually also, if you talk to their friends, if you can find their friends and talk to their friends, some aspect of knowledge that they're being controlled.
Right.
They have talked to other people and said, somebody's controlling me. Somebody's talking to me in my head. Somebody is making me do things that I don't want to do. And then... when they finally are driven to go and commit this terrible crime where they kill several people and wound several others, they will either attempt to kill themselves and be stopped in the process, or they will actually commit suicide.
Right, I see. Okay, that's a beautiful outline. Yes, Timo, what's your word on that? And the Timonese,
I haven't been following any of that at all, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
I absolutely just don't know.
Okay, I see. I heard what you had to say on Y2K like a couple of months ago, but I know you always update on the information and you always do quite a lot of double checking, which does into so many months before the year turns over. What's your update on the Y2K scenario?
Exactly the same as I always said.
Okay. All right, great. All right, well, I sure hope I'll be able to get you on the internet because it's not always easy to listen to your program live.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, I don't know if you appreciate the phrase fan. Maybe that word might be not appropriate, but I'm a listener, ardent listener to your views.
Great.
And from a biblical perspective, I can identify with many things that you say. The Constitution, I appreciate, and the liberties, or God give me liberties, and I would safely say give me liberty or death.
Good for you.
Okay, so...
That makes you my brother, by the way.
Yes, sir. And I hope to be stay in touch, and I'd want to find a way to identify myself to you when I do write to you in my email, so that you recognize that I've been following you. It could be close to 6 years. Let me give you a clue as to when I listened. When you were doing that stuff on Whitewater, you were the lone voice talking about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Whitewater with that scandal there that eventually burst?
Oh, Whitewater, yes.
Yeah, MacDougall and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah. We were the first broadcast that ever talked about it.
Say that again?
We were the first broadcast that ever talked about it.
Right, I'm aware of that. Whatever time Waco was occurred, that was around that time, I discovered stumbling to your broadcast on shortwave.
All right.
And I've been trying to keep in touch ever since.
Yeah.
Okay, I would consume no more of your time, and I thank you very much for the work that you're doing. And I'll keep a keen ear and an open mind to your views and follow as much as I can on your webpage. Once again, you said go to find your stuff. You said get to, I have the Hour of the Time webpage open, but there are some changes. What's the procedure again? To get some of your archives, past programs?
No, just go there and just click, and you'll find it.
Okay, great. I thank you, sir. Have a good night.
You're welcome.
And to your guests also.
Thank you. Good night.
Have a good night.
Okay. Wow. Well, that was nice. That's somebody else who used to listen to us in Trinidad. We get mail from all over the world, by the way. Most people in foreign countries can't afford to call, so they don't. But they send us tons of mail. We get mail from all different countries, everywhere. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
I couldn't get you through the regular telephone, so I used my cell phone and I got through.
Well, I wonder how that happened.
I know. When I dial on the regular telephone, it's, and I've got two lines, and it says the number you're dialing can't be dialed, you know, like that. I'm dialing improperly. I just dialed your number the same way I've called you from this location several times before. Well, Bill, looks like we got another MC mind control operation going on right now with this shooting that happened in Fort Worth, Texas.
Well, it's not another one. It's the same one. See, all these people were programmed years ago.
I mean, it's another, it's another operation. It's another layer.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, just, you know, and we've got a bunch to go. Believe it or not, I predicted this church shootings would start this summer. I predicted it on the Alex Jones show. And earlier you mentioned that you're the only one on radio, and I got to tell you, when they come after you, they're going to also go after Alex Jones, too, and several other people, Chris Garner. I mean, there's a lot of good people standing up and standing loud and standing proud and saying, people, get your gun. People, get ready. You know, we're fixing it. We're at war.
Well, we are at war. Unfortunately, a lot of those other people don't do any research before they do their broadcasts, and they also put out a lot of bullshit, which just absolutely pisses me off to no end. There's no reason for them to do that, but they do it all the time. And so, the truth is if you want the truth, this is the only broadcast in the world left where you have a chance of hearing the real truth, not mixed with any rumors. I didn't take anything off the fax machine 5 minutes ago. Everything is thoroughly researched and documented. And when we tell you something on the hour of the time, you can take it to the bank.
Hey, Bill, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you think you'll catch more fish with 10 individual fish hooks or a 10-yard net?
Don't give me that crap. A rumor monger is a rumor monger. Now, if you're here to advertise for Alex Jones or Chris Garner or anybody else, you're wasting your time because I'll flat roast you. They're rumor mongers, and it's the truth.
I'm just saying it.
They put out more hysteria, bullshit, rumors, and lies than they ever do about the truth. And I can prove that statement. If you want me to do that, I could just roast them into the ground. Is that what you want?
No, that's not.
Don't get on my radio show and start promoting somebody else who's a rumor monger. I won't allow it.
Well, Bill, I mean, if you do have something to say, say it. You know, if there is something you would cite.
I'm all for free speech. And they have the right of free speech. If they want to be rumor mongers and if they want to promote lies and they want to do all this kind of stuff and mix a little bit of truth in with it, well, they certainly have the right to do that, and I'll fight and die for their right to do it, but I will not approve of it, and we're out of time. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. God bless you, Annie, and Pooh, and Allison.
Time. my soul.
You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager. Classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 is your non-profit community service radio station. Stay tuned now for all oldies most of the time.
Did you go?